In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. This morning, we begin our sacred journey with Jesus through Holy Week and the events that changed human history forever. Jesus makes a conscious decision to, as St. Luke tells us, to turn his face towards Jerusalem, knowing full well what would transpire there. There he would fulfill the reason for the incarnation, to die on a cross, to enable my salvation and yours. Palm Sunday is always an emotionally challenging Sunday. And it reminds me, at least, sometimes of the fickle nature of my response to such a gift, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. On the one hand, we praise God with Hosanna. Blessed is he. But then just days later, they cry, "Crucify him, crucify him." I think if we're honest, Palm Sunday reveals to us something about human nature. We at times love and praise God, as they did on Palm Sunday. But at other times, we know in our hearts our actions betray him. There is in us a rival king that wants to remain in charge and on the throne of our hearts. So we live with being caught between wanting, we all know we want more of God's life within us because we need it so desperately. But then we also, conversely, want nothing of God's presence within us on anything more than a superficial level, because we know that God wants to change me. And I don't always want to be changed. And so I have a phrase that I like to think showing this dual love-hate kind of relationship: spiritual schizophrenia. And I think it's true. There's a part of me that so much wants God to be totally directing my life. But then there's the side of Jim that says, wait a minute. Wait a minute. God, in Holy Week, acts decisively to redeem us from ourselves. He sends Jesus to give us a choice in life: eternal life in his holy presence, or eternal death apart from his presence. If you believe in the truth of the story of Holy Scripture, the choice we make is as clear as the difference between black and white. We either believe and place our trust in his grace or we choose not to believe and suffer eternal consequences. I know we don't like to think of it this way, but there really isn't any gray area. Sadly, especially in our culture today, many people refuse to see it that way and want to see the question of God as gray, subjective. They sadly believe that there are many paths to God, and Jesus is not correct when he makes the bold claim about himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I don't see any gray in what he says in John 14. So then the question becomes, why do so many wonderful, well-meaning people within the Christian tradition think that it would be arrogant, narrow-minded to believe that Jesus is the only way? Well, I've come to believe that they have very good intentions. And they feel this way because most of the world's religions have many common similarities. All of the religions ask their believers to pray. All of them ask their believers to do good works, to help those in need. All of the world's religions ask us to use our time, our talents, and our treasure to be used for God's glory. So it's no wonder that people fail to distinguish between the religions of the world. And many of them are well-meaning, sensitive, caring, loving people. But there is only one religion that claims God became man, died on a cross, and rose to new life 3 days later. The uniqueness that sets Christianity apart from all of the other religions is solely the death and resurrection of Jesus. So the question is really a simple one. Do we believe that Jesus triumphed over the grave and rose to new life? In all of my years of living, I've never known or seen anyone who has died come back to life and walk on the face of the earth again. Have any of you? And so if the claim of Christianity is true, that Jesus rose from the grave, that separates Christianity completely from all other religions. The resurrection is either true or false, black or white, no gray. And Jesus himself said the gospel is an offense to the world. And in our politically correct culture that we live in, to claim Christianity to be unique is considered mean-spirited. Well, it comes down for me to the issue of truth. When I was learning math, 2 plus 2 was always 4. I think it still is. You can't reduce it to 3 or add a number and make it 5. It's a truth. And so God asks us to believe and to place our trust in Him. I want to read again, in closing, the epistle that we read today. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I love that passage. At his name, our knees should bow and our tongues confess. One last thing that I want to share. I used to love teaching First Holy Communion to first graders. It was always a joy. We had 10 lessons, but my favorite class with them was where I taught the children about the Greek word anamnesis, which means to recollect, to recall to memory, to remember something. It has the same root from which we get the word amnesia, which of course is the opposite. Instead of remembering, I have a lot more amnesia than I do anamnesis, I'm afraid, and it gets worse every day. But Holy Week in particular is our opportunity to recollect and remember the truth of the Christian story. It's not a fable. It's not a nice story. It's the revelation of God's love for us all. That doesn't mean we're mean-spirited to other religions and we don't respect them. That's not what I'm saying. We should. But this week, above all weeks, reminds us of what God has done for us. A story so sacred, so wonderful, that Paul, in our reading from Philippians, reminds us of the only legitimate response, that at his name, our knees should bow, our tongues confess, he is the King of glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.